Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Ark and Hart on WEEI.
Red is under the league average.
By Brown. Kick out. Extra pass. Brown for three. Good.
Come on.
Career lows so far this season for Jaylen Brown.
Literally from that spot on the floor, he's 4 of 23 on the season. 17%.
Oh, early heat check. My goodness. Oh, he just said, take that with you. Take that shooting
JB
charge.
JB for a three.
Oh, man. My goodness.
Okay, so that was from the Celtics win over the Timberwolves, which was back on Sunday. It's Christian Arkin, it's Andy Hart, it is WEEI Afternoons. And the reason why I wanted to play that is because you can hear the contempt in the voice of those two guys.
Yep.
The announcers, by the way, are Michael Grady and Jim Peterson, and I don't know which one of them is which, but I can tell you this. They came into this with stats, right? With numbers. This is the shot chart. This is where he's hot. This is where he's cold. Jaylen Brown's not shooting well from three this year. They were prepared. They came into this statistically prepared.
Oh, yeah.
They had it all right up here, and they were ready to go. And Jaylen Brown starts the night by banging five threes right away, like in the first 10 minutes of the game. And they're just sitting there befuddled. And this, the reason why I wanted to play that is because last night, as the Celtics were just disemboweling the Clippers, you could hear the Clippers broadcast getting kind of about it too. And I think that the Celtics are on the verge of just breaking everybody's brain. I think that the Celtics are going to break everyone's brain, and I love it. I'm here for it. I think that it's a great sign, especially when you're the team that's doing it. But any time that there's a team in any league that's so good that they're just driving everybody crazy, that's good for the league. That's good for sports,
yep.
And that's what I think. You know, forget parity. Parity's fine. But when there's a team that's the big, bad team, and everyone's gunning for that one team, and no one can beat them, like the Patriots of 20 years, and no one can beat them, and they just keep going at it, and they keep getting frustrated, and the fans are throwing their hands up, and the announcers don't know what to say, that's good. I love that. And the Celtics are that right now.
100%. And I think it's even better when it's a marquee team,
yeah,
like the Celtics.
Definitely.
You know, like the Cowboys. for instance, in the NFL. It's not right now, but I'm saying when the Cowboys or one of those all-time great teams are the best in the league, it's a measuring stick. I think the perfect example, this is not a team sport, but heavyweight boxing. When heavyweight boxing has a champion, an undisputed, unified, the whole thing.
Yeah, like Jake Paul.
It's no, like Mike Tyson in his heyday.
Right.
It makes everything better. Everybody knows who everybody's gunning for. Everybody knows the person in the fight. Like, I think it's so much better. And the Celtics are unquestionably that in basketball right now. I do find it funny that it's the announcer's approach to it in a weird way. Like, and I know NBA, you know, we have Scal on. These announcers are sort of home. They're part of the team. They're homers. But so do they think Jaylen Brown's not good because they had a few stats? Like, your sample size?
They don't think that he's hitting threes this year. And he hadn't been shooting great from three. That's true. And then he comes out and hits five in the first 2 minutes of the game. So, you know.
But, you know,
take those stats and shove them.
15 games into the season, and from that spot, he had shot, you know, 18, 19 threes. It's kind of a small sample size.
I know. They had the entire, like, every spot on the floor they had numbers for. It was funny.
Like, and from what I understand, because Scal and Drew Carter did a whole thing on this last night in the pregame, and Scal was, I don't even know if you, do you have the names of the two guys? He said they were, they're like the best. He believes they might be the best.
The Clippers guys?
No, the Timberwolves.
Yes, Michael Grady and Jim Peterson.
He thinks they're the measuring stick. They're really good. He didn't want, like, so they're kind of mocking it, but not mocking them. Mm-hmm. They were mocking because he wanted to make it clear, like, we are nothing to you. You guys are much better than us.
Way better than the scrub Carter over here and me.
But we're having fun with this.
Right.
But those guys seemed legitimately perturbed.
Yeah.
Like, they were annoyed.
They were bothered, yeah.
You're not the coach. You didn't game plan and say, yeah, we're going to give you that shot. And then you're not the one who looks bad when that shot goes in for JB. And
you think those guys say we when they talk about the team?
100%.
You think so?
100%.
Grady and Peterson?
100%.
Okay.
I mean, based on what I heard, how could they not? He might as well have said, when we game planned for this, we were going to give him that shot. And this is also my example of, you can take your analytics when you get too deep in them and shove them up your bum-bum,
mm-hmm.
because you should know that Jaylen Brown is capable of this at any time. Whether he's shooting well or not.
Right.
Whether Jason Tatum is shooting well or not. Would they have said the same thing? Jason Tatum went 0 for 10 the other game.
Right.
Would they have looked at that and been like, give him that shot? You know, he's not getting, oh, he open threes. Jason Tatum, not good this year. So just give him open threes. That's a great game plan. No, you wouldn't have done that. So
he wasn't necessarily like wide open on some of those either.
No.
He had a hand in his face on like two or three of them.
I loved the one in front of, what's his name? The defensive player of the year.
Gobert. Yes.
When he, you know, crossover, mm-hmm. drain. I think that might have been the fifth.
Yeah. That was the one where you're like, okay, like,
it's awesome.
He's not missing right now.
We were all JB fans. I know sometimes I'm on an island with JB. We were all JB fans. And I do also like that it was, so it was pointed out, it was cut together by somebody on Twitter, and then JB responded to it. I love that. I love this new JB who seems more comfortable responding to these things in real time, not making us wait for like later and or being subtle. Remember he had the one with Nike, y'all got weird energy or whatever over the childish thing. I like that he's just responding openly in real time.
Yeah, I like that too. If you don't know what we're talking about, you don't follow Jaylen Brown on Twitter, you should. Because he's become much better follow than maybe he was at one point. And the guy who put all that together was Taylor Snow. And he quote tweeted Taylor Snow's compilation of the guys, Peterson and the other guy, going on about how he shouldn't be making all these threes and just basically coping with the fact that he got off to a good start. And Jaylen Brown quote tweeted that and said, hating ass broadcast, LOL, which is good. I appreciate it.
Which is the way it probably should be to balance out the homer ass broadcast that most of these teams have.
Right.
That's probably the best way to do it. And it was funny because I think NBC Sports Boston kind of cut it up with Scal's reaction.
Okay.
And then cut up the Minnesota reaction, kind of back in the joy and then the misery on the other side.
Joy
and back
pain.
And forth. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that's how, I actually have no problem with that. Like, if that seems like it's the way business is done in the NBA.
Oh, definitely.
You have a home.
The local broadcast, they're all very
in baseball,
homer,
too,
sure.
right? I mean, you know, our guys are Celtics. I mean, Red Sox guys.
Uh-huh.
Joe Castiglione's a Red Sox guy.
Yeah.
Will Fleming is a Red Sox guy.
Red
Lou
Sox,
Maloney is freaking a Red Sox guy.
He
obviously.
Certainly is, yes.
So that's probably the way it should be, and the other side should hate.
Yeah.
We need more hate in sports. I'm with Joe Mazzulla. We need fights and hate and this kind of discourse.
Now, evidently, the Clippers broadcast last night was also similarly hating, but they were more about, like, this team's spending too much money and it's not fair and they're going into the second apron and they're spending way more than all these other teams and that's not right and eventually they're going to have to start shedding some payroll and blah, 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 blah. We didn't get any of those clips because I don't have the LA broadcast and I don't have NBA League Pass. However, you can hear just the disdain in their voice. This was the end of the third quarter. The Clippers were down 16, I want to say. And here comes Peyton Pritchard off a screen. Stiz, if you have this, listen to the contempt in the voice of the Clippers announcers.
Five to shoot for Pritchard. It's a deep three with a hand in his face. You got to be kidding me. That is six threes for Pritchard.
So, I mean, it was quick, and we didn't get the good stuff. And I'm just going by what people were saying on Twitter. I have no idea if that actually happened or not throughout the game. I didn't hear it myself, but you can hear it in their voice. You got to be kidding me.
And you should.
Yeah.
I love.
And Peyton Pritchard's a good shooter.
He's having a great year.
It's not like it was Luke Kornet hitting a bunch of threes.
But he's not the Olympian all-star that the other guys are. He's Peyton Pritchard. Oh, now this guy's going to freaking hit him like that? Like, what are we even doing here? I feel like he threw his papers up when that went in. Like, threw his papers up in contempt.
Hell with it. Yeah,
right. What are we even doing here? And I do love it. The one thing, well, first of all, the Clippers can't spend.
Oh, they can spend.
Your owner just built a gazillion-dollar arena,
mm-hmm.
right? And he bought a different arena so he wouldn't be competing with that arena just to get it out of the way.
I'll tell you what, that arena looks sick.
I would like to go
it
there.
It looks so awesome. The team's not very good, but that arena looks cool.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm allowed to sit in the student section, but I would want to sit in the student section a little bit because I think you have to get, like,
what a great idea that
pre-approved.
Was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing here, this just came to me. Do you like the fact, because we're talking about the Celtics are the be-all, end-all, they're the measuring stick. Do you like the fact that they are not, at least correct me if I'm wrong, commonly referred to as like a super team? Even though
they're
should
not
be.
Referred to as a super
team? I don't
team?
Feel like anyone labels them a super team.
I think they do.
Do they?
Yes.
Like
last year, I think they definitely did.
See, I don't hear it very often.
I think.
Okay, so maybe I'm just missing
it. As soon as they got Porzingis, I feel like you started hearing it.
See, I haven't heard it as
much
as they did.
And then they added Holiday. I think definitely.
With
I think
Miami and with even, you know what I think it is for me, or at least my interpretation of it is because the two biggest stars are homegrown.
Sure.
I feel like that buys them some weird leg of credibility to stand on.
Yeah,
or like the Clippers.
And they didn't bring in
Kawhi
someone...
and George come in.
Right. Yeah, I see what you mean.
I don't
so
feel like people
bring
have...
in someone who immediately became the best player.
Right.
Their best players were already there.
Right.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I don't, and I like that. Even though
I don't
know
too,
if it's
yeah.
fair or not.
They're still a super
team. They're a super team.
Definitely.
I mean, they're
team.
A super expensive team.
I also think
least.
That whole idea of a super team has been kind of watered down over the last 5 years because every team tries to be a super team. Then.
Right. And you should.
Know? Right.
I've never understood why that was a bad thing. Ooh, I should be mad that some team tried to get the best players.
Well, the only reason why is because when it doesn't work, you look like a real a-hole.
No, I know. Yeah. So make it work.
Yeah. Like when the Red Sox in 2012 with Crawford and Gonzalez, or the Eagles with Asamoah, I remember, and Vince Young and all those guys like that. Those were the super teams that failed, and everyone's like, ooh, these super teams aren't so good, you know?
But I'd rather shoot for super team and fail than do whatever the Red Sox have been doing for 5 years.
Agreed.
I want them to be a super team, and then if they fail, they fail.
Agreed.
But I want them to try to be a super team first to entertain me.
I agree with that 100%. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got open phone lines for you. If you'd like to chime in on the Celtics, the big bad monsters of the NBA right now, breaking the brains of opposing broadcasts and players and fan bases and everyone. I love it. You should love it too. Here is Dan Ball with what's trending when we come back. Drake May spoke again today about his turnover problem, but he doesn't think it's a problem, or does he? We'll get to that next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending now on WEEI, sponsored by Timeout Market Boston. The Bruins are back in action tonight as they take on the Vancouver Canucks at TD Garden. It's the first time since November 14th that the Bees play a team with a winning record. Puck drop is set for 7 o'clock tonight. Jeremy Swayman in net for the Bruins, while Vancouver will start Kevin Lankinen. The Patriots return to the practice field today in preparation for kickoff on Sunday against the Colts at Gillette. The focus around the Patriots shifted yesterday to the status of safety Jabril Peppers, and Patriots quarterback Drake May, who we'll hear from in just a moment, reacted to his return.
Glad to have him back in the building. I'm waiting for him to, you know, speak on it. So I'm just glad to have him back, and, you know, he's a great player.
The Celtics are winners of six in a row after their win last night against the Clippers. Boston is off until Friday when they visit Chicago to play the Bulls in a game that's part of group play for the NBA Cup. Tip-off is scheduled for 8 p.m. And finally, earlier today, MLB Network's John Morosi reported that the Red Sox were one of five teams to submit an offer for star outfielder Juan Soto, with the others being the Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, and Blue Jays. According to Brendan Cootey of The Athletic, the offers for Juan Soto are expected to go through multiple rounds. The first round is expected to be preliminary, and the following offers could start around next week. Folks, experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball, more WEEI Afternoons with Arcand and Hart coming up after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Do you have a turnover problem? Are you turning the ball over too often?
As myself, looking back and looking at, the plays, I think so. I definitely think so, that, from the standpoint of, turning the football over, you can't do that in this league. And right now, I would say it's a problem. I think, most of my turnovers aren't, really, being careless, throwing the ball careless in the, difficult spots. I think, the tipped interception, I think, that's a tough one. The fumble, obviously, you put the ball in harm's way of not protecting the football, but I wouldn't say it's a problem.
That gets funnier every time I hear it.
Am I crazy, or is he starting to take after Gerard now?
I don't think he's gonna.
Just right in a circle until you get to the other end of it, and then that's the answer. Mayo does that.
In this case, though, because this is very, it's a tough question.
Yeah.
It's all about him. Do you have a turnover problem? Mm-hmm. And he knows the numbers would say, I have a turnover problem.
Right.
But he doesn't, I don't really think, believe internally he has a turnover problem. So he ends up kind of trying to cover everything.
Right.
It's a problem, but I wouldn't say it's a problem.
Yeah. Fine. So that's basically, he did start off saying that it was sort of a problem. I have a problem with this.
Yes.
But by the end, it's not really a problem.
Talked himself out of it.
He did speak on this again today and kind of did the same act. Kind of started on one end, went to the back, and came out the other side with actually it is. Before we get to that, though, Stiz, are you up to speed on what's going on with the Drake and Kendrick Lamar right now?
Drake may have taken the worst L we've ever seen in a hip-hop beef.
Okay, so, Andy, you probably know that Drake and Kendrick Lamar had this big back-and-forth over the summer, and then Kendrick Lamar put out that song we just played. It was called Not Like Us.
Yes.
And Drake is now suing his record label, I think, or somebody. He's suing someone.
A record label.
A record label, and saying that they artificially inflated the numbers, that didn't really get streamed that much. He used bots, and that it contributed to a loss of money for Dre or something like that. And it is maybe the saddest reaction to losing a rap battle that I've ever seen. He's going to HR, basically. He's calling his lawyer. He's going to HR. What do you have, Dan?
Drake is doubling down on his ongoing legal war against his own label and Kendrick Lamar's Not
Label.
Like Us. Yeah, filing a new legal action in Texas that alleges Universal Music Group knowingly allowed Lamar to call him a, quote, certified pedophile. Yeah, that'll get you. As it sought to drive consumer hysteria and, of course, massive revenues.
Yes.
What a disaster.
Well, the thing about it is, and I don't think that Drake, the rapper's career is over. I think that he's going to come back with some club songs and people are going to play him and listen to him and like him and whatever. He's got his audience and his audience isn't going to completely go away. But Kendrick Lamar definitely took a chunk out of him this past summer. No question
this is
about
sad.
That.
I mean, I'm not.
And now
excited.
He's trying to sue his own label.
That seems like a bad look, too.
That is. That's a spiraling. That's spiraling behavior.
Desperation.
That's definite. You know what that was like? You remember when Arlen Specter tried to open a congressional inquiry into the Patriots over Spygate? Like, that's kind of what this is. You lost, and now you're trying to get the courts involved. You know, like, you just lost. Hold it, deal with it, cope and seethe, and come out and put a song out for the club and just get on with your life.
Next, bring your mom out.
We've never seen, but I did see other people kind of breaking it down. Like, basically what Drake is saying is that the record label charged Spotify way less money. So to like stream the song, to kind of like artificially make it go. Yeah, it is kind of called the Wambulance.
It was not artificial. That song was the song of the decade. Are you kidding me?
Fair,
It's still now very popular. I mean, come on. That was maybe the hottest rap song of this entire decade, I would say. And we're only 4 years into it. Like, that song was a cultural moment. And it still is. So for him to be like, oh, yeah, it was just because of bots were listening to it. No. Everybody was listening to that song. That song is everywhere. Kendrick just put out another album, and there's already memes of that all over the place, too. Which I haven't listened to yet, by the way.
Pretty good.
I've heard mixed reviews on it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not every track is, you know, a 10, but okay. I suggest you bump it on your way home tonight.
All right, I will. I'll be my Thanksgiving playlist, just new Kendrick. So there you go.
Family
Anyways,
will love that one, Christian.
I'm sure they will. Drake May's turnovers. Are they a problem? We asked that question yesterday. He says yes, and then no, actually not really. You don't think it's a problem. I do.
No, I think it's a problem. I'm not worried about the problem.
I think
it's a normal problem for
it's a
young
problem, but you're not worried about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes something
worry
about.
We both think it's a problem.
Moving forward, it becomes something you worry about and you stay up late at night about. But right now, it's the cost of doing business. It's the cost of playing a raw, athletic, playmaking, gunslinger, rookie quarterback behind a bad line with bad receivers.
Okay. Stiz, do we have what Drake May had to say today about his turnover problem, using air quotes here? Here it is.
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, not too worried about, you know, turnovers. Obviously, you know, putting the ball in harm's way is a big emphasis for a football team as a quarterback. But I think they're trying to fight back and trying the game, trying to make some plays. You know, some of them happen, but I do think, you know, back on my statement, I just have not worried about it. I am worried about, you know, turning the football over. That's a problem. But at the end of the day, you can't turn the football over. And especially, you know, I think we're losing the turnover margin in most of the games, you know, with me back there. So that needs something that I need to improve on.
How what?
I think he ended on it is a problem.
Yes, I think he did.
Right? He started off on it's not a problem. And we're just trying, you know, it's the end of the game. I'm trying to make a play. And by the way, I've heard people defend him by saying that. These happen at the end of the game. He's a rookie quarterback. There's a minute left in the game. He's trying to make a play. He's trying to go deep, et cetera. And fine. I mean, sure, if you want to say that, I don't think being a rookie necessarily negates the idea that you don't have to throw game-ending interceptions every week. But whatever. I mean, that's – and not all of them were maybe his fault either. But regardless – he starts off sort of, you know, and he said this the other day, too. Well, that pass got tipped.
Yeah.
It wasn't really, it got tipped because you threw it right into the guy's hand. Like, you could have thrown, it could have been a tuba ball. You could have lived to play another snap.
You were freaking out.
You were
under
a little
pressure.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not, he doesn't have the most poise in these situations, does he?
So, he doesn't.
No.
But I think, again, that's
he's a poised player, but not in those situations.
This is all new.
Yeah.
With a bad line and the speed and the size of the NFL, like, that's an example. Maybe most guys he plays in the ACC aren't tall enough to bat that down, aren't athletic. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that fingertip doesn't get on it, and he's able to get away with that, and that's a lesson learned. But I think today's answer at the podium, I think my interpretation of it is he doesn't think it's a personal problem in terms of, like, his development and his ability, but he acknowledges it's a problem for the team. We're losing the turnover battle in games I start. That's a problem. He knows football 101 is if you lose the turnover battle, you usually lose the game. And he can look at the stats, the simple stats, no deep dive stats, no advanced metrics, and say, we lose the turnover battle when I play. So while I don't think I'm
the only reason for it or it's going to be an issue moving forward, that's a problem for the 2024 New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And it is.
It is.
Because they've played some games where if you didn't turn it over, you might have won the game.
Yeah.
But you did. And even the ones, you're right. Somebody in the press conference even gave him the out of like, yeah, it's late in games and you're trying to make plays, like giving him the out. Well, not always. The one 2 weeks ago, which one was it? The DeMario Douglas one. Like, my point would be they're not 30 seconds left, fourth down, and he's just going to chuck it. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's doing some of these on first down.
On first and second down. Yeah, you talked about this yesterday. Yeah,
like
yeah.
You're moving the ball and you have an opportunity. You're feeling
Pop
something.
Douglas was against the Rams, I think,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I don't necessarily give him that out. A lot of these aren't actually those examples. And I do think some of them are correctable. Some of, like, very simple. Throw it to the tuba player. Mm-hmm. I still don't really understand what happened. I don't think he was trying to throw it away. I'm still not sure I buy that.
I don't think
away.
He was either.
Yeah, I've never bought that story from the... I think it was a terrible throw.
I think it was a brain fart.
Yes.
Yeah, and that happens. I mean, some guy is staring someone down, and the little thing in his brain tells him to throw the ball, even right. though he knows there's a guy there, and he just does it. You know, that happens sometimes.
And guys make bad throws. There right. was... Which one of the quarterbacks last night? I think it was Lamar early on made some really bad throws. There was one down the field to Deontay Johnson. He threw it. It was at least 10 yards over his head. Might have gotten a penalty if the throw hadn't been 10 yards over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut to Harbaugh, and he and I were making the same face to each other like, what the F was like? Who was that to?
Herbert overthrew a guy, too, by like 10 yards.
These are MVP caliber
quarterbacks. It would have been a touchdown.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So there's no shame in it. And we also don't need to, I don't think, make excuses for him. It's just a very natural, normal part of his youthful development.
Yeah.
But he is definitely, this is the first time I feel like he's struggled to answer a question. Kind of the talking in circles, flummoxed. Is it a problem or isn't it a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Gerard, am I supposed to say it's a problem or am I supposed to? I don't know. I have my own problems over here. Leave me out of it.
I need to improve on.
You do need to improve on it.
Yeah, he does. 100%. I think we all agree with that. He'd agree with that, too. 617-779-7937. There's also this. We were curious yesterday after the news came down that Jabril Peppers was no longer on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yeah.
He has been released off of that, is back with the team, and we found out today was with the team at practice in the building, which we were curious about. Is he going to be there? The NFL went out of their way to say that while we're taking him off the exempt list, we have not concluded our investigation, we've not released any findings, and the legal process is still playing itself out, too. And that was weird, to take somebody off the list without coming to a conclusion or having any findings in your investigation kind of seemed like typical NFL, honestly, is what it seemed like. But it did seem off. Like, well, what's going on here? Doug Kide, and you alluded to this yesterday as well, but Doug Kide broke it down and said, per a league source, the reason that Jabril Peppers was removed from the exempt list was because the baseline suspension for a violation of the personal conduct policy, a.k.a. the PCP, involving the actions for which he's accused is 6 games. He's already missed 7 games. If Peppers had remained in the exempt list through his next court date, January 22nd, he would have missed a total of 12 games. The NFL may still impose discipline at the end of the process. If evidence is found that demonstrates he violated the personal conduct policy, the NFL will look to conclude its investigation once there has been a disposition. I think that means to say deposition.
Probably deposition.
Either way. This sounds like time served, right? You know, like the process is going, and then when they finally get to the court date, they say, we find you guilty, but since you've been going through this whole thing for a year, we were only going to sentence you to a year anyway, so here's time served, and you can go back to the team, or you can go free, or whatever.
So I don't.
That's what it sounds like.
I don't want to be a hater here. What if he threw... It's alleged he threw her down the stairs.
Right.
What if he threw her down the stairs?
6 games?
I mean, is that all you get?
Is 6 games appropriate?
I don't know. That's like my response to this. And I thought, speaking of talking in weird circles, I thought Gerard wasn't great handling all the questions about this today. He kind of said, well, he's been removed from the commissioner's list, so he's back on the roster. And then he made a comment about the Crafts. I appreciate them allowing us to make these decisions, kind of pushed the Crafts out of the discussion and made it sound like it was an Elliott Wolf, Gerard Mayo decision.
Right.
But then the questions kept coming, and he kind of said, okay, I've talked enough. I'm not going to say any more. We put the statement out yesterday. He wasn't overly, because I thought the good question was, somebody asked the question, you said we'll do our investigation. Have you found something that makes you comfortable bringing him back to the team? And he didn't want to get into that. He
right.
wanted to, you know, the old respect the process, blah, blah, blah. I feel like they have to know something that makes them feel pretty good, right? About to allow him back in the building, to allow him to practice, and to insinuate that when he's ready, he said when he's ready, he's going to play. Like, he made it kind of sound like a football thing. If he gets out there on the practice field and looks like he's fast and in shape and ready to go, he could play against the Colts on Sunday. I don't rule that out. So it feels quick to me. It feels a little quick to me.
Yeah. Here's Jerod Mayo talking about this very thing earlier today, Stu.
Again, he's off the list. I anticipate him being able to practice. At some point in time, we'll get to that bridge when we get there. You always have to assume that things come out. What I will say, you know, just in regards to Jabril, is like, you know, we released that statement and, you know, he's off the list and we anticipate him being at practice soon.
Okay, so to me, this is all going to be a referendum on Robert Kraft. This whole thing, because Robert Kraft came out and said, if this is true, then he's out of here.
Mm-hmm.
He's off the team. We're not going to keep him on the team. We're going to cut him. He will be gone. He will not be a member of the New England Patriots. And he's back in practice. So, you know, like this to me sort of speaks to the idea that he's well-liked in that locker room, too, by the way. According to everybody, they all like Peppers in the locker room. And he was a leader on the defense and what have you. So it's not like he was some toxic player that was causing problems all the time and everything else, even though he said you're lucky we're ass last year in that Giants game.
Truth is never mean.
It's true. Either way, that's not true. The truth can be very mean sometimes. But either way, Robert Kraft and the Patriots in general have had a pretty steadfast resolve when it comes to domestic stuff and going all the way back to Chris Peter, you know, back in the, what was that, the 90s when that happened, that kid from Nebraska. So,
Parcells.
You know, this is a long-standing thing, and it's something that Kraft likes to take a stand on and sort of get up and say, you know what, this is one thing we don't tolerate here as an organization and blah, 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 blah. That suggests, and it doesn't prove anything, but it does suggest that the Patriots have seen something or know something about this that makes them say, you know what, this isn't what it appears to be. Or he's getting railroaded, or we've seen something that suggests that what's going on here is not really fair to Jabril, and when it all comes out, you'll see it how we see it, right?
Yes, I would say their actions...
That's what it sounds like.
...fall in line with his attorney's words. His attorney's words from the get-go, that first meeting where we have video evidence... We have video evidence that dispute the allegations of the alleged victim or something like that was his. And their actions, which would make sense, I would guess, if he's trying to sell his case or make his case to his employer and to the team, and his attorney has video evidence, don't they share that with the Patriots?
You would think so.
So if they've
seen that. I'm surprised it didn't leak online.
Yeah, I kind of am too.
You know?
But it probably would be a bad look. Probably could get you in trouble.
Oh, it'd be a terrible look.
Probably could get you in trouble,
but
too.
It would also I wouldn't put an end to all this, but it would say, hey, you know, everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
We all know what we're looking at here, and there is sort of a group thing that comes with that, and I think that would extend through, okay, we can't keep him off the team now. Everybody's seen this video where
right.
he's clearly getting framed or set up or whatever it is.
And this is the problem, the weird gray area of accusations and innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
I mean, the punter for the Bills is the perfect example. Who was cut immediately, and I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Areza. He's
on
the Chiefs now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was toxic. It was over because of the allegations against him, sexual assault, rape, whatever, that whole thing. And then it was proven false, right?
Right, yeah.
And he's back in the league, which is great.
The girl admitted she'd made
it
up, right? Yeah.
But that's the problem. It's sort of more like you're assumed guilty until proven innocent in some of these cases in professional sports.
Yeah.
And
the fact that he caught him with drugs and he admitted to that too, probably.
That's another weird layer to this that seems to be kind of ignored.
Yeah.
Right here? Because we're fixating on video evidence with the alleged victim and
PEDs
the violence.
Or drugs or whatever, it's four games generally, right? So if they wanted
PEDs four,
they wanted
drugs
to get him
are
for
six,
that.
I think.
Drugs are six?
I think like
big, and then you have to go on the
like,
program.
That's a narcotic.
Right?
Yeah. That's a higher, that's not weed,
Do they still have the program?
I believe so,
The NFL, you go into the substance program?
Because then you can get tested, like, all the time, no matter where you are. They can contact you, and you have to get tested immediately and all those things. And that's a layer to this that I haven't really heard anybody investigate or talk about because, you know, that's a secondary crime that I feel like could... But again, the Patriots' actions indicate to you they think he's fine to put on a football field.
Yeah.
Right?
Seems that way.
Unless they're just trying to... That'll play itself out with the NFL, the cocaine part, and maybe he's suspended for six games to start next year or something.
Well, if the NFL thought he really did this, then I don't think they would say, well, you know, it's been 7 weeks, and usually it's only 6 weeks in the personal conduct right. policy, and I'd say we, you know, let's call it even here and put you back on the team. Yeah, right. And then we'll get back. We'll figure out and come out with our findings eventually. But I think we all know where this is going. Like, that's sort of what it seems.
That's
like.
The vibe. The NFL, the Patriots, the lawyer, everybody is giving that they have the evidence. They've shared the evidence. They've sort of done their quasi investigations, and they feel comfortable with him going back on an NFL field.
We have Jabril Peppers speaking today. Stiz, if we could get this ready. This is Peppers, and he didn't have a lot to say, as it still is an ongoing criminal matter that's happening here. But he did do a scrum in front of his locker, and he did answer questions. Here's Jabril Peppers.
That question is about what transpired early in the season. You know, under the advice of my attorneys, I'm not at liberty to discuss any details, and I look forward to doing so as part of legal proceedings. Hope you guys understand and respect that.
Take us to Bill, off when you came off the commissioner exempt list to where you are now here. What's your mindset? What's it been like for you to come back to this team?
Extremely thankful. You know, it's just Thanksgiving. You know, it's a lot to be thankful for right now. Just happy to be back around the guys, happy to be back in the building, happy to get back to doing what I love to do.
So it went on for a little bit longer. He talked for about 2 minutes, but you got a lot of that. Yeah, the advice of my attorney, I can't really talk about this.
Which
I
is smart.
I can't really say anything. You shouldn't be talking about it at all. But it does sort of beg the question, if this was all settled and it was over and they'd found him innocent, then you could say whatever you want, right? Well, not whatever you want, but you could say, hey, you know, I'm back. This whole thing was BS. This lady was trying to extort me or whatever, trying to get me in trouble, and we had a bad brand. Whatever the situation, I have no idea. I have no idea what happened here. I know it's alleged. I know what he says happened. I'd imagine it's probably neither one of those things. It's probably somewhere in the middle, which these things generally are. But either way, it does appear as though his penance has been served, and that he'll probably be back this weekend, right? I mean, if he's practicing with the team this week, he'll probably play this weekend.
Based on who he is, I mean, the guy's in ridiculous shape. I would assume he's been staying in shape, wanting to get back on the field. Probably even knew in advance of this, a week or two, okay, ramp it up. There's a good chance you're going to come off the commissioner's list. So, yeah, I think there's a legitimate possibility that, and if we're being honest, if we're just going to do this football-wise, they could use him. They could use help at safety. They could use help stopping Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
You said he's liked by teammates. Yes. He's also liked by fans.
Yeah.
He had become...
Well,
he had been.
He had been, yeah.
He had become a guy people really... Oh, I love the way he plays. He's always hitting,
big
thumping,
hitter, yeah.
Like that whole thing. Where that goes now, I don't know if people will support him, not support him. The evidence plays itself out, whatever. But yeah, it would not stun me, especially I was more surprised Christian Barmore played right away than I'll be if Jabril Peppers plays right
yeah.
away.
Yeah. By the way, I'm getting some hate on the text line right now.
What'd you do?
I don't know. Everyone's, oh, I can't believe Arcan hates Drake May. So I don't hate
it's
Drake
true.
May. I do not hate Drake May at all.
You never wanted him.
That's true. I didn't want him. It doesn't mean I hate him. It's two different things. But yeah, oh, Arcan, I can't believe you hate Drake May so much. What do you expect from a 22-year-old? Arcan, you're a whiny, bitchy millennial, okay?
Well, I told you, we got that call yesterday. A guy was very upset, said you were being very disrespectful to Drake May.
Yeah. I think that might have been me, though. Some people didn't like that I asked him if he has a turnover problem. I think that's what that was about.
Everybody needs to lighten up, first of all. He's the quarterback of the Patriots.
That's
you
got
to ask him questions, right? We have to. If he has a bad game, we got to ask him about it.
And
we're not here to kiss his feet. We're not here to throw roses at him like everybody else is doing, which even though Andy does that too. But like that's not our job.
And that is part of my balance. I do that all the time. I think he's a stud quarterback. And I didn't say, hey, jackass, you keep throwing the ball to the other team. Do you have a freaking turnover? Like. To me, that would be disrespectful, unprofessional.
You should try that next week.
No, I don't think we will.
Hey, Drake, why do you suck?
I didn't say that either.
No one's saying that, exactly.
I even pussyfooted into it. I said something like, this is going to sound harsh, but kind of following the numbers.
This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me.
There's some truth to that. I kind of pussyfooted into it.
It did hurt him more than it hurt Drake.
Yes.
I think that's true.
And Drake answered, he's a professional, and this is part of his learning curve.
It broke Andy's heart asking that question.
It kind of did.
You could see it. You could
see it
in real time. Yeah.
This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Homer Simp was heartbroken yesterday.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, he was. Homer Simp. I like that.
Shut up, DB. DB. We've been told the text line would like us to refer to you as DB.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I can't tell if that's a compliment or an insult, so I'll just take it as it is.
Pretty sure it's an insult.
It is not a compliment. 617-779-7937. Juan Soto trolled everybody today with his new sponsorship. He's not picked a team yet, but we have some new info on the Red Sox and their offer. We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
This wasn't an easy decision, but after meeting with the team, it became clear what I wanted to be. That being said, Team Texas. What? You were expecting a different announcement?
Juan Soto trolling everybody with his big announcement that he is the newest spokesman for Celsius Seltzer energy drinks. Did I get that right?
Yes.
No booze in them. I know that.
No, you're really fixated on this booze.
Got me set straight. Well, I got it by for Thanksgiving.
It
I got
to
go out.
To be fair, it does look like there would be booze
in it. Does.
Yes, it does.
The can looks like Truly, you know? Like, it looks like those boozy seltzers that people are drinking. And I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But that is not... Generally, athletes don't sponsor those type of things.
No.
You wouldn't
there actually was some rules against it, right?
Back in the 80s, though, you know... Bud Light, Miller Light, you had
the
Celtics, great.
Less right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Kevin McHale drinking a Miller Light.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was not a problem. And now all of a sudden, no one's doing that anymore.
I think in the NFL, you can't. I think you have to be retired. I think that's why you see, like, the
E-Lot
to do alcohol
ads.
That's
so stupid.
It really is.
Isn't that stupid?
I'm an adult.
Like, come on.
The people I'm marketing to are adults.
Right.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And so what?
These are role models for children, guys.
By the way,
yeah, so how about we show them how to drink responsibly?
Good point. Saquon Barkley's out there eating the KFC famous bowl in front of everybody right at the locker. You know, that's you're telling me you can't drink a beer? Like, come on.
I know. What's worse, the famous bowl or a Bud Light?
Yeah. Can I tell you something?
Not healthy.
I love the KFC famous bowl.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh, they're so good.
I don't think I've ever had one.
It's like chicken cereal. You know, it's
chicken cereal.
It is. You never had one? It's like pieces of chicken, and then there's mashed potatoes, gravy. There's like cheese in it,
some
too.
Corn,
somehow.
I think.
It's corn in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
and you eat it.
It's almost like a shepherd's pie, but with chicken.
Exactly. Yeah,
oh,
it's very much what it's like. And they are delicious. But, you know, Saquon Barkley's there. Uncle Jack's asking him questions. Saquon's like, what? Come on. You think I'm just here to get you to eat? And then it's like KFC famous bowls. You can sell anything, basically, at this point. But, no, they're very anti-athlete selling liquor for some reason.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, cigarettes and things. You don't see any cigarette ads anymore. But booze, just because there's so many millions of booze ads during every single sporting event.
That's my problem.
Right.
I would have no problem if the NFL in general didn't take alcohol ads, but they're all over the stadium.
They're
all over everything. Just the player can't do it. It's
right.
A little hypocritical, like back in the day when they were so against gambling and
right.
Tony Romo couldn't even do a fantasy football convention because it was too close to gambling. And now they're all in on gambling, but players can't gamble. Like, there's a lot of hypocrisy that goes on in the NFL.
Yes, there certainly is. All that to say that Juan Soto, according to the latest reports, has not made a decision yet on where he wants to play baseball. He's going to be sponsoring Celsius Seltzers, but he doesn't know where he's going to be playing baseball yet. However, we do know that the Red Sox, of the four teams that were in on Juan Soto, the Blue Jays, the Mets, and the Yankees, and the Red Sox, were the last ones to make an offer. And I'll tell you what, that turned my crank a little bit.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah. That popped my cork a little bit. I heard that, and I said, oh. Because you want to make the last offer. You want to be the team that makes the last offer, right?
Yeah.
That's the offer that they usually end up taking, is the last one. And you do that when you know what the market is, and you've heard or have some idea of what the other offers have been from the other teams, and then you swoop in at the end, and you blow them all out of the water. Now, do I think the Red Sox did that with this offer that was made yesterday, I guess? Not necessarily. I don't know that they blew everything out of the water, but if they were competitive, or if it was just, you know, more than what New York and Toronto had put out there, I feel good about that. Now, what may happen, and I think this sort of put the Red Sox behind the eight ball, they had a meeting with him 2 weeks ago and said, well, we're not going to discuss money at this meeting. It's going to be 3 hours talking about the Dominican Republic and, you know, all these other things that we have here in Boston and the great barbershops and all the facilities here at Fenway Park and blah, 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 all that crap. And I thought that was a blown meeting, really. I didn't think there was any point to having a meeting like that if you're not going to discuss money, at least on a fundamental level, because teams like the Yankees don't have to have a meeting like that. He was just playing for them. And the Mets don't really either, you know? Like, yeah, we're in New York. You know what New York's like. You want to play in New York or not? If you do, come play for us. Or whatever, and we'll offer you more money. Also, there's this. You have guys saying, well, we all know we're going to be offering somewhere in the vicinity of $600 to $700 million for this guy.
Yep.
At various, you know, years or whatever. We all know it's going to be somewhere in that ballpark. If you get an offer that's right around what we're offering you, or maybe even a little bit more, come back to us, and we will beat that offer. And then it really comes down to just, if they all said that, where does Juan Soto want to go? Does he want to stay in New York? Does he want to live in Canada? Or does he want to come to Boston? And I think when it comes down to that, I have a hard time imagining a guy who just played in a World Series with the Yankees and the MVP, Aaron Judge, who just got named MVP, and say, you know, that was great. And all things being equal, I think I'm going to go to the Red Sox, who haven't made the playoffs in 5 years, you know, or 3 years. And it just, you know what I mean? Like, the Yankees are already right now where Juan Soto wants to be in terms of a team and winning and sort of all that other stuff. Now, they may not have as bright of a future as the Red Sox, hypothetically. And that's one thing that I think could work in the Red Sox' favor. If Soto really cares about that, if he really cares about the farm system and player development and all that stuff, the Red Sox have all these teams beat. They have Toronto beat, the Yankees beat, the Mets beat, basically everybody. They have the number one farm system in Major League Baseball. So that's good. But how big of a priority is that for someone like Juan Soto? Does that matter more than winning right now? Does that matter more than being on a contender early on in your contract? Well, the promise of maybe someday these prospects will be good and will be good in 8 years. Is that more tempting than we was just in the World Series this past year and you come back here, maybe we'll win it?
I think it might be because the length of the contract. Maybe he's taking a really mature, long-term view of this and saying, wow, if I sign a 14 or a 15-year deal, there's a chance I'm actually with that team for 14 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. So in reality, Dodgers, Yankees, and Red Sox, I would say, isn't it virtually guaranteed they'll all be good and they'll all be bad at some point in the next 15 years?
Probably,
just
yeah.
Like based on ups, downs, injuries, whatever. And he looks at the Yankees, who he has an internal view of. He knows that roster. He knows the organization. And maybe he goes, yeah, they're good now, but are they going to be good forever? Well, what happens when Judge starts to get a little old and Stanton's already getting a little older, mm-hmm. and his money and books? Maybe he looks at the Dodgers and says similar things like, yeah, I know I'd be there with Shohei for the next 10 years and Mookie for the next 10 years, but Mookie's a little guy. All the things we talk about on the radio, like how long's he going to hold up?
Little fella, sure.
Little fella, how's it, blah, blah, blah. And
I mean, he's been doing fine in L.A. since he got there. But
so, yes, maybe he's looking at it from that like really mature sort of big picture perspective and says, I know the Red Sox, they already told me their plan. Mm-hmm. They're going to get me, they're going to get a right-handed bat, and they're going to get two starting pitchers. We should be good this year. We should be competitive. They were a borderline wild card team last year. We're going to be a playoff team this year. But if their plan is right and their organization is right, they're going to get even better moving mm-hmm. forward as the young guys continue sure. down the pipeline and coming in.
Yeah.
Because
but that's making a promise. That's selling you on an idea of something.
Oh, yeah.
That's not selling you on the reality of the situation, which is the sure. Yankees were a World Series team this year.
Right. But they could get bad faster than the Red Sox.
That's true.
Right? I mean, they could fall
sure.
off a map in a way. And I do think
they'd sign Juan Soto. I don't think they're going to. But
no,
yeah, it's possible.
I know. But I do think this is and I think the other thing is in here, and I have no idea about this. I haven't really read anything about this. The Shohei Ohtani contract changed everything.
Yeah.
So we just say, oh, it's $700 million. When?
Right.
In 5 years, 10 years, these years, do I only get $1 million a year and then I get, Bobby Bonilla for 25 years after I retire? I think some of that has to be included in here. I also wonder, from your perspective, do you think the Red Sox, I like to make this seem like sexier than it probably is, but like Breslow writes a number on a paper and slides it across, and then they go, and he goes, okay, give me that back, let me erase that, add some. Like, do you legitimately think they had a ballpark competitive offer right out the gates?
No.
You think they had to tweak it, and they accepted a tweaking? Has that already happened?
Yes.
So to be in these five offers, whether they
actually,
were there.
Let me change that. I think that they did probably have something market value, right? Like something in the ballpark.
North of a half a billion dollars.
Yes, which is a lot of money. But
yes.
For Juan Soto, I mean, we know who's involved. We know who the bidding is. And we know that these teams all want to spend a lot of money and they all want them really badly. So I think it was something that wasn't a joke of an offer, but something that was quickly eclipsed by the other teams.
Well, and also,
if I had to guess,
if this is going to be a multi-week thing with multiple rounds, you don't want to necessarily come out with some ridiculous offer because then they can use it against you.
Right.
Right. Even if you really want him, you don't want to fluff the price up another 10% because at this point, 10% is another $75 million potentially or something.
If it guarantees the player and you really want him, then you do
that. Yeah, but I'd rather.
Do you want to win the deal or do you want the player?
Both, and I want to have that extra $75 million to add to the Teoscar Hernandez deal or whatever I'm doing
sure.
there or whatever.
That's fine, but I've had enough of the Patriots and the Red Sox and these teams winning deals. I don't care about that anymore. Get the players, and let's get some talent out there.
Yeah.
Yes, Dan.
Something I just wanted to throw in quick before we go to break. I'm curious if you guys think this is a factor, the ego play in all of this. Every other team that you mentioned, there is a star, a marquee player that Soto is kind of joining forces with. Mm-hmm. For that 14-15-year deal, Soto is the face of the franchise in Boston, which, as we've seen from other Dominican-born players, is a powerful thing.
Yeah, and
Rafael Devers exists. It's not like he's...
Yeah, but I think it's actually true. It's sadly... What DB is bringing up is sadly true. That you have a $300 million player who this guy immediately, and I mean, I guess his contract's going to double him up, so he probably should usurp him immediately. But I think there's been some disappointment with what Rafi Devers has given you for that massive contract on the field and off the field. The fact that he doesn't want to be the face of the franchise or the voice of the franchise. And I do think immediately Soto becomes, I mean, obviously the star of this team, the superstar.
He clears Devers, I agree.
Yeah, and he should. And that's, you know who probably likes that?
Devers, yeah.
I can just kind of slide
perfectly
in.
Happy with that. I'd agree
with that. Still get my $313 million or whatever and slide in.
Right,
here.
And now all of a sudden, if we're not good, everyone's going to be asking him about
go
that.
Go talk to him. I'm going home.
Go talk to Mr. Celsius over there. I don't know. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We see your phone calls lining up here. We'll get to you right after this. And when we return, we'll go behind the glass and do a nice little quiz with Stiz. That's coming up right after this.